I'll give you all the title of this sermon, maybe near the end of it. Give you some advice, give you some Jesus, and then give you a challenge. Amen? Give you some advice, give you some Jesus, and give you a challenge. How about that? Huh? How about that? That'd be all right? Can we handle that? This morning it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Luke chapter 10, we're going to be dealing with Jesus, people. Amen? Jesus and people. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, is that what y'all are seeing? And behold, and a certain lawyer stood up. Does that look familiar? I'm just going to preach to you like I don't know you. Amen? I like a little participation. I'll preach to you. If you'll talk to me, we'll talk for about an hour and we'll get out of here. Amen? I went and done a little bit of revival on Wednesday, so I'm revived, so I'm going to bring you some. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? It's amazing. If Jesus had people that tested him, you're going to have people that test you. That's all right. Say amen every once in a while. Hey, if Jesus had somebody that was going to put him under the test, was going to try him, was going to try to trap him, was going to try to catch him in his words, then guess what? We're going to have some of that same stuff. Amen? Just look forward to it. There's two kinds of people that are hard for Christians to deal with. Two kinds. Lost people who are lost in their sin and won't get out, or don't want out, or not seeking Jesus to get them out. And that's a difficult kind of thing for us. It's not that we're mad at them, not that we're aggravated with them. It's just a point that we want them to get saved so bad because we see the benefits of Christ and the benefits of where they're going. I'm preaching to you. It'll be all right if you say amen. Listen, I worry about lost people. I've got a burden for lost people. I look and I see the lost people of the world, and I'm not mad at them. I'm not mad at their sin. I'm not mad at what they're doing. I'm mad because they won't turn to Christ and get their sins forgiven where they'll have peace, joy, happiness in their life. That's hard as a Christian to see a lost and dying world. If you look at a lost and dying world and go, man, they're out. They ain't gonna make. If that makes you feel good, I'd worry about your salvation if I was you. Because once you get saved, you've seen who you were and you've seen what it took to get you out. You want other people to get out. I want other people to get out of their sin. The other people to deal with, it's very hard to deal with, is legalistic people. Legalistic Christianity. Legalistic faith. People who are religious but don't care about people. They care about having a discussion, an argument, or wrestling with each other about the Word of God. And Jesus deals with them. And we'll deal with them. But sometimes the best way to deal with somebody who always wants to argue about Scripture and about the Bible and about what it says and don't say is the best thing to do sometimes is to walk away and go help somebody that wants help. Boy, that's hard for us, ain't it? That's difficult for us because what we want to do is we think as a believer that somehow we're going to change them because we're going to be so kind and overwhelming with love that somehow they're going to just combustible change right in front of us. But they never do they? And guess what? People are dying lost. People are struggling in their faith. And we're dealing with somebody who all they want to do is wrestle. Amen? All they want to do is teach us something. They ain't never going to change. Oh, let's get into Word. Look at this. I want y'all to see it. And he said unto them, 26, you're correct. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Be careful when God's asking you questions. It's not that he don't know the answer. He wants you to answer it out of your own mouth. Amen? He never asked questions where he didn't know the answer. He just wants to see if you know it. Amen? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Man, he was doing good. He was running well. All of his Bible studying, all of his scripture study, all of his scroll study had paid off. I mean, man, he had sat and talked with the smartest of the smartest, and now he was talking with God, and he got the right answer. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. God, you know, God has got a commandment that you love him. He commands you love him. Man, that's a command. Hey, if you would, he said, I command you. If you love me like that, guess what? I'll love you back that way. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Here's where he's going to get hung up. Amen? Because he had the right answer, but he didn't have the right heart. See, some people got the right answers, but when it comes to application, you can have the right answer and not have the right application. You can know all the scriptures and not apply them to your life. I'm not worried about somebody who knows the whole Bible and don't do any of it. I'm worried about the person who can quote one scripture, one word, and apply it to their life. Man who can take the Word of God and say, you know what? I know one thing. I'm going to do it. Amen? It hurts you to know everything and not do any of it. Just walking around, I know it. Got it right. But look what he did. My goodness, he was doing really good. Verse 29, but he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? He did it. He was wanting to do it. He looked, all right, Jesus, who is my neighbor? What it tells you right here is he knew the law. He knew what he needed to do, but he had no heart for people. I'm telling you this morning, he didn't even know what to do with the information. Some of us in this room, you know, you've been in church your whole life. You've heard Bible stories. You just don't know how to apply them. You don't know how to apply them in your life. You don't know how to take them from the page to the person. You don't know how to take them from the page into activity. You want to talk about Scripture. You want to talk about God. You want to talk about church, but you don't want to walk it. It takes a walk. Amen? It takes a walk to live for God. He asked him, and he said, who's my neighbor to justify himself? Tell me what to do, Lord. Oh, my goodness. God opens up, and he starts to deal with the man. And while he's dealing with him, I'm going to let him deal with us. Amen? Is that all right? Here's your advice. People, Christianity and faith is a people business. Don't get so upset with people that you get upset with God. Amen? Don't get so upset with people that you leave off serving God. Because people will hurt your feelings. They'll hurt your heart. They'll hurt everything about you. But praise God, that's not Jesus doing it. That's a person doing it. Don't give up on church, and don't give up on faith, and don't give up on the ministry because of a person. You might want to write that down and put a date by it. Because eventually somebody's going to hurt you, and you're going to say this, I'll just not go again. I'm just not going to show up. Then write it down there. That wasn't God, that was a person. Amen? Some of you are sitting here this morning, first time been in church for a while, because you had an excuse for a long time. Them old hypocrites down at the church. But you never talk about the hypocrites at work. And you never talk about the hypocrites at the bar. You never talk about the hypocrites at the club. Sorry. Right? But the hypocrites at the church, you won't ever show up again. You need to know this. There's hypocrites everywhere. Praise God. I just don't want to spend eternity with them. I can show up and go to church with them. I can go to work with them. Praise God, I just know I ain't going to spend eternity with them. Amen? Listen to this. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell amongst thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. This is called the blood path or the blood highway. There were so many switchbacks and turns on this mountain descending from Jerusalem to Jericho that thieves could hide on every corner. They could hide in every turn. And when somebody would come down, they would jump out and club them or stab them or knock them down and take all they had. I've been on the blood highway. Amen. I've been on the bloody highway. Amen. I can tell you exactly. I used to like to run the blood highway. Amen. Oh, God, some of y'all so spiritual. I used to see how fast I could go up and down the blood highway. Golly bum. I used to run the blood highway like a moonshine runner. Now some of you can say amen. All right. Guess what? I used to take the curves, see how fast I could go through them, and go as fast as I turned and turned and turned. And I'd always say, ain't nobody ever going to catch me. Amen. Ain't nobody ever going to get me. I'm too smart. I'm too quick. I'm too fast. Oh, them stories about other people getting hurt, that ain't going to happen to me. So you shouldn't be running that road. Oh, come on, heaven. You shouldn't be running that road, Derek. You shouldn't be running that road. You'll end up on that road. You'll end up bloody piled up on that road. You'll end up piled up on that road, left for dead. Left for dead. Stripped, wounded, and left for dead on that road. And you'll say, well, I drove it over and over and over. You can drive it as many times as you're going to drive, but eventually you're going to get caught. The thief is going to get you. See, what the thief likes to do a lot of times, when I say the thief, I mean Satan. See, a lot of times he lets you run it so many times that you don't realize how deep in you are. He lets you get away with so much that you lose all your help. Help me preach. You lose all your family. You lose all your friends. You lose all your support. And you're running the road by yourself and you think you're going to make it. The devil's good, amen? He's good at one thing. He's good at setting a trap. He's good at setting a trap. He'll let you come in and eat and eat and eat from his table until the point where he says, you know what? I've ruined everybody in his life. I've ruined everybody in her life. What I'm going to do is this time I'm going to shut the trap on him. And when I shut the trap on him, everybody's so aggravated because he's been running this road, this blood road, this blood trail so long. When I shut the trap on him, there won't be nobody there to help him. Is there anybody in here that ran so far and so fast there was no help for you left? Well, I did. I ain't gonna lie to you, I did. I ran it all the way out. When the trap slung shut on me, I called out for help. And everybody said, I told you. I told you. Amen? It costs. Oh, I'm going to keep preaching. It costs to run that road. It costs to run that road. When you run out of money, when you run out of ability, when you run out of time, when you run out of your mind, praise God, you got to start spending everybody else's. Huh? You start taking from everybody else. And when they won't give it to you, you burn them down. Amen? Guess what? The thief caught him, stripped him, beat him, wounded him, and left him half dead. Everybody in this room, some of y'all are sitting here going, well, I got saved when I was about 9. I've been raised in church. I wasn't ever out there running the road real bad. But guess what? You got something in common with this fella. Everybody else got something in common with this guy right here. Everybody in here has been half dead or you are half dead. Now I'll say it again. You are either half dead or you've been half dead. See, we were all birthed into Adam. Amen? We were all birthed half dead. We were physically alive but spiritually dead. Amen? Everybody in here is sin. Everybody in here is guilty. They weren't none born righteous. Some people say, well, I was born in a faithful house. I was raised in a Christian home. I don't care if you was raised in a zoo. That don't make you a monkey. I don't care if you was sitting in a garage when you was born. It don't make you like a car. I don't care if you sit there and go, vroom, 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 all you want. That don't make you nothing but what you are. And that is a lost person when you're born. Amen. Nobody gets it. See, that's what this fellow messed up. He asked, said, what do I do to inherit the kingdom of God? You don't inherit the kingdom of God. God ain't given no inheritance. You have to ask for the free gift of salvation. You have to come to an end to yourself. You have to come to a place where you say, you know what? I'm a sinner. I'm naked. I'm wounded. And I'm half dead. I need to be a whole alive. Amen. I used to think about this all the time. See, when he starts talking about the Samaritan, he said there was a Samaritan came that way. Well, let's go get the scriptures. Let's go back. Sorry. I almost got ahead of myself. I'm not rushing. I don't care what's going on in this world. We're going to finish the word. Amen? Look at this. And he said, answering, a certain man went down, verse 31, by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw it, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Woo! I used to preach this, the law and the prophets, the law and religion came and looked at you. Amen? The priest, that's... looked at you. That's religion. It can't do nothing for you. If you can't do nothing for it, it can't do nothing for you. Amen? The law, it comes all the way over and looks at you. See, the law stares in your face. See, the law is a schoolmaster. A law is like a mirror. When you look into the law, you find out you're guilty. Amen? Y'all, can we do something fun this morning? Can we? Does anybody want to do something fun in the church? Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. What's this? Y'all ready? Are you ready? Jamie, you ready? What's this? If you've ever told a lie, ever, sit down. Y'all take a look around the church. Guess who's standing? Oh, I told a lie. Amen. I told a lie. I went to the easiest one I could go to. But I want to tell you the truth. I'm about 8 out of 10 breaking the law. Amen? Can I tell you something? If you broke one part of the law, you broke the whole law. And if you stood before God and He's a righteous judge, He would say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. By the law, you'd be found guilty. See, the law came to that man who was half dead, naked and wounded on the side of the road, and looked at him and said, you're guilty. I can't do nothing for you. That's what the law does. I can only tell you that you're wounded, you're naked, that means you're not covered in the righteousness of Christ, and you're half dead. See, listen, I ain't going to let you off the hook that easy. If you sat down this morning when I said, if you ever told a lie, that means if you stand before God and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you just condemned yourself by sitting down. That means you're lost and undone before God, and you need His salvation. Somebody said, well, I just told a lie. I give you about 5 more commandments that would make everybody in here sit down too. Amen? We broke more than one, and you know you have. So you stand guilty before God. So the law comes and looks at him and passes on the other side. But then I got to studying. God's better than that. God's better than that. He is. He's amazing. You know what he was doing? He was teaching this lawyer, this scribe, that it was him. Amen? He was the law. He was the priest. What it was is he could tell you what to do, but he couldn't walk it. What it was is he come and looked at the situation, but he didn't know how to love God with all of his heart, and he didn't know how to love his neighbor as himself. All he could do was look at the mess and pass on, because it's time to get back to the house of God. Some of y'all got a problem. You're good at church, you're not good at loving people, and you're not good at loving God. Woo! Y'all like me right up to that point. Well, I find my identity in going to church. Listen, I'm a pastor. I want you to come to church. I'm going to beg you to come to church. I'm going to encourage you to come to church. But guess what? You come to Jesus first. You think you're better than them? There's people that sin and do stuff, and they've got real bad pasts, and they've got real bad problems, and you look at them because you've never had them, and you say, well, man, I'm better than they are. But given the chance, they had jumped the rail and run 4 lanes of traffic to help somebody stranded on the side of the highway. Yeah, they might be a beer can in the back of their truck. They might have a Budweiser stick. Oh, gosh, preacher, stop it. They might have just got out of jail. They might have a tattoo or 10. They might have a pack of Marlboros rolled up in their sleeve. I don't think they ever do that anymore. I'm preaching to you. If you don't get it, I'm telling you. Guess what? You'll drive by somebody broke down, and you'll say, I'm on my way to church. Oh, Lord, bless them. Help them. I'm trying, but you won't. And that guy that you look down on, that girl you look down on, yeah, she couldn't pass a drug test. Oh, gosh. Now, I ain't been to church in a while. Well, park 4 lanes over, run across the interstate, straddle the midway, cross other four-lane of traffic, fix the tire with cars rolling by. Oh, come on now. Fix the tire, won't take no money, scavenger back across and go down to the part-time job that they have, maybe being a waiter or a waitress, and I'm going to keep on preaching until something happens. Then they'll go to the down at the restaurant and serve you, and when you come in, you're upset about how they didn't serve you right. So you ain't going to leave a tip. But you're going to pray over your food, and maybe if you're arrogant enough, you'll leave them a prayer card. Lord, help us. I hope our church name ain't on it. Amen? That's the way it really looks in this world sometimes. The world knows how to love better than the church does. Stop being religious and start being a part of it. This is the title of the message. We need more innkeepers. We need more people that are going to get people to the inn. Amen? That's what we need. We need more people who are saying, I'm willing to get you to the inn. I'm going to clean up your wounds. I'm going to pour in something. Listen, pour into people. Pour in the wine. Pour in the oil. That means take your good stuff and pour into people. Give them your good time. Give them your good life. Somebody say, you're wasting your life. I said, it's impossible to waste my life. I've got so much life left. I've got an eternity to live. What are you talking about? I'm wasting my life. Amen? You take them down to the inn and you check them in and you say, look, if that ain't enough, here's a few bits. I'll pay you when I get back. Well, they might take advantage of your money. Oh, gosh, I'm praying. They might take advantage of your money. How many times have I took advantage of God and His money? Whew. I better not give them $20, man. I tell you right now, they might go out and get drunk on that. I hate to tell you this, but I took more than that, and I did worse with it. Amen? So guess what? If God says give it and do it and give it. Because you never know when you sow into people's lives where that what happens and how that turns around. We need more innkeepers. On the way to church, God gave me the end of this message. Some of y'all are going, you need to prepare sooner, son. I prepare, but I always leave room for Jesus. Amen? And this is how I'm going to close this message. Because I've preached this for about 15 years. That Jesus found me. Oh, gosh, this is good. Jesus found me on the bloody road. He found me naked and He clothed me. He found me wounded and He healed me up. Amen? Check this out. He found me half dead and give me whole life. And He's been carrying me ever since. He put me on His, not His beast, He put me on His back. And He carried me. Is everybody liking that? Check this out. That's 2019 and some change version. Golly. Y'all ready for today's version that I got on the way here? You ready for it? Because it blows that away. That's mercy. You want me to share your grace with you? Ed, you ready for this? When you take off running, I'll be right behind you. You ready for this? Jesus sat there and said, I'm better than that, Kevin. On the way in here this morning, He said, I'm better than that. I said, do tell, Lord. He said, when you was naked, instead of you being naked, I got naked. Whew. Instead of you being unclothed, I got on the cross unclothed. You'll never be naked because I got naked. I said, God, you wasn't good to Samaritan, were you? No, I got good Samaritans. I'm better than that. Hey, God, I was wounded, wasn't I? Yeah, but I got wounded. Where you'll never have to be wounded like that. See, I was crushed for your iniquity. I was bruised for your sin, where you wouldn't have to be. See, listen, I'm better than that. I didn't clean up your wounds. I got wounded for you. that last part. He said, I didn't get half dead. I went all the way. I got all the way dead for you, Kevin. I got all the way dead for you where you won't never have to be half dead anymore. I'm better than that. I carried you with that. Listen, I went and carried. I put the burden on my back and I carried it at the cross and said, oh, Jesus, how about that? How about down at the end where you paid some and you said, when I come back, I'll pay it in full? Jesus said, I'm better than that. Where my hands should have been stretched out, his hands were stretched out. And he said something. It's finished. It's paid in full. You'll never have to pay for anything for righteousness. I paid it all today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation.